There are about half the city council members who are fearless and will come on and talk, even if you disagree with them, even if they're unpleasant topics to talk about. And there's four of them who kind of bail, and you can't get in touch with them unless you catch them at the meeting. Other than that, they don't return phone calls or emails. Jessica Yorko is one of those fearless people, and before she gets the kids off to school and gets all the lunches ready and all that stuff, she's going to talk some Lansing business with us. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, let's talk about last night's meeting, and something happened when you were talking about this airport deal, which would involve DeWitt Township as well as Lansing Township as well as Lansing. When I saw that Consumers Energy was complaining about the opportunity of not being able to compete in this project, and how Bob Trezise from the Lansing Economic Development Corporation said that, that's the way the law is written, that the Lansing Board of Water and Light has dibs there. It got me thinking, got me wondering, is Lansing having a challenge allowing people to, entities, business to compete? Because we had this big mess with the Oliver Towers deal in Davenport. Are you caught in a corner and not able to allow entities to compete?
Very interesting. You know, I had a similar sort of feeling last night with this Consumers BWL issue, in terms of thinking, wow, this kind of reminds me of last week. I don't think Bob said that it's written into the law. I think he said something like, that's been our policy. And, you know, policy can be spoken or unspoken. And I may need to double check and just see, you know, how things are set up. Consumers Energy and Board of Water and Light are both great partners in our community. And so when the you know, area manager for Consumers comes down and sits through the whole meeting and gives comments a couple times and gives us a letter, you know, that's something that we need to try to understand and try to figure out. And what I really would have liked to have seen with Davenport and LCC was some sort of meeting halfway, and let's both do what we need to do and figure out a way to work this out. That's just my personality. I like people. I guess I'm not so much in the winner takes all. I'm sort of like, okay, everybody, you know, with kids, you say, okay, you cut it in half and you pick the side you want, you know? Like, there's always a way to work things out, and I feel like there's always a middle ground, and I don't know why we don't work harder to find the middle ground on things like this.
Jessica, I'm a LCC guy. I went to school there, wrote for the newspaper. My wife got her associate's degree. She's currently going to Northwood via LCC, so I support LCC. But in my mind, this deal needed to happen with the investment that Davenport was going to bring to the city of Lansing, and how eager they were to become involved. And then after hearing President Pappas said, we'll just go look somewhere in the greater Lansing area, it seems like to me at the top of your agenda, at the top of the mayor's agenda, should be at the top of the agenda of the four council members who voted to squash the deal, or at least not let the deals be held publicly. It seems to me that should be at the top of the agenda, keeping Davenport here and keeping them happy.
Yeah, that's exactly what the mayor's agenda had been, and there was a lot of concern about, you know, what construction company they would use and what labor, you know, what kind of labor force they would use for their construction work. And it seemed like their Davenport had been agreeable to pushing themselves, you know, beyond their standard procedures to do something that was more sensitive to the Lansing community. And I don't know why we couldn't have at least let them have their hearing. I mean, they were down there. That's what, to me, felt like a disgrace, is that, I don't know if that's too strong of a word, but they were down there waiting, and LCC, you know, asked to be on the agenda, make a special presentation, and of course we welcomed that. And I thought, oh, good, we'll get to hear from LCC. And then we didn't even get to hear from Davenport. I still have never met anyone from Davenport because they didn't get their time. And if we're into listening to people and letting them, you know, share their ideas, at least let them have their public hearing.
Jessica, from your perspective, did this occur because there are council members who don't like Virg Bonero, who don't like his policies, or do you think that this is just an anti-growth sentiment from those council members who voted against this? Or, you know, they're just so in bed with LCC that they don't want to see the city grow with more education institutions?
You know, I have a hard time not being real direct about what I think. So I'm going to be really direct about what I think about this. And I don't know exactly how you deal with these kinds of things, but I think that you'll always have people who have political aspirations beyond the office that they're serving in. And so when different power players from different areas lean on them on issues and say, this is how I really want you to vote, or this is what I really want you to do, sometimes I think people cast votes that maybe, you know, doesn't always, in my opinion, make sense for the city. It doesn't always make sense for our economic growth and our, you know, land revitalization. You know, I'm just passionate about land revitalization. I'm also passionate about social justice. And I think we can do both. But I do think people have other aspirations, and when somebody leans on them that they think they're going to need for something later, that plays into things.
It just seems to me that those four people who voted no, and this wasn't for the project, this was just hearing publicly what these entities had to say, it just seems like it was a win-win situation. Just we could call it the Yorko scenario. Everybody wins. We get a big entity like Davenport to really invest and make ourselves an educational cluster. LCC, we could find some land for them somewhere if they really need to grow. I know that they said they're basically on an island, but we can make it work. And the deal just fell apart. And the president on this program said, we're not going to get in the middle of their political bickering, and we're going to go where we're wanted. And I thought, wow, we're blowing these people off, and that's how they perceive this city. I can't get over that.
I know, and I figured, you know, getting on the city council is a way to be a vote on situations like this and others in the past, like Francis Park, the grant money that we couldn't, you know, go after, and, you know, the Michigan Avenue Rain Gardens, you know, that was my first community organizing effort in Lansing, and the council did re-vote and accept the money. Bike lanes on Mount Hope, they turned down federal money for that. Any walkable, bikeable project pretty much got, may I say, shit-canned until the whole walk and bike movement really found itself. But, I mean, I ran and got on council because these kind of situations frustrate me. And last night, you know, with the Davenport thing, it sort of occurs to me, you know, even being on there doesn't always mean that the thing that I think is right is going to happen.
All right, so what's next? What's at the top of your agenda for the rest of this quarter?
Well, on November 10th at Gone Wired, we are going to be unveiling the city's non-motorized transportation plan. This is at 6 o'clock. This is the product of the Complete Streets Ordinance, which I worked on as a community organizer, not as a council person, but have had to continue to, I guess you might say, hold feet to the fire to make sure that we get the citywide non-motorized walk and bike Lansing Complete Streets plan. So 6 o'clock, November 10th at Gone Wired. Is it November 10th, November 11th? It's that Thursday, the Thursday of voting week. I should look at the calendar. I'm pretty sure it's the 10th, yeah. What else? The bicycle parking ordinance. We're just hammering out those guidelines. We want to make, you know, if we're going to make regulations, we need to make them user-friendly, and I just don't want to push that ordinance through until I have guidelines that are really easy for a property manager to pick up and use and follow. So we're hammering those out. Mid-Michigan Environmental Action Council has been a great help on that. What else? I've been doing a lot of door-to-door work over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I will up until the election on the millage. I support the millage. I encourage people to get out and vote. We need police and fire protection. We need money for our roads. The millage will help us do that. I have a newsletter set up. If people go to rantingsfourthward.com, they can subscribe for my newsletter. What else?
Well, I have one question for you. Speaking of the election, we heard Kyle Malin for the MERS newsletter and the City Pulse really was disappointed with the last election because he thinks it might have gotten voted through if the city had gotten the word out. And here we are again. I haven't seen any signs. I haven't heard any commercials. I haven't saw any commercials. No one's talking about it. What's going on?
Well, you know that where we lost it in the May special election was with the absentee voters. So a lot of the effort, it has been strategic that the effort has been on direct contact with people who vote absentee. There's been a tremendous phone banking effort at the AFL-CIO that I've participated in, as well as, you know, bringing lists home and making calls from home. So most of the effort has been on calling those absentee voters and door-to-door, face-to-face. I did get a piece of mail a couple days ago, and there are yard signs available. If anyone would like a yard sign, they can give me a call, 214-5684.
Thanks, Jessica.
Take care.